row rocking the tie. Showtime! Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Thursday to you. And if it's Thursday, you know we are short-staffed. Alvy is homeschooling. Rit is in the front row. Hawk is in the back row. And I am where I am every single day. On the other side of the glass, hosting the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, lots of show for you. Every single day we have lots of show for you because we bust our ass and love doing it. If you're curious exactly what we have for you, I will lay it out. 1-800-636-8686. It is Thursday. And not only Thursday, but there's a pretty good matchup. Not only a pretty good matchup, but it's Hell Week. An old school Hell Week. Raiders. Chargers. Used to be on Hell Week that this thing would start early in the week and go all week long. Back in the day when I was on 690 AM in San Diego. Now things have changed dramatically, so it's a short week. We don't really have a Hell Week. What we have, in effect, is a Hell Day, right? So one day to get ready for that matchup. And actually an important game tonight, so we will get into that a little bit later on. I've got a preview. I've got an update on James Harden, which I'm going to get to momentarily. And a whole lot more. You have your phone number. You want to hit me up on Twitter, at Jim Rome. You want to hit me up on email, at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. You want to make sure that at the end of the day, or at the end of the program, you find some time and you listen to Clinton Portis on episode 155 of the Jim Rome podcast. He showed up in a big way. I've got a recap of that. All right, so our interviews look like this. Lots of jungle karma. Three NFL teams that have a lot of karma are represented. I've got Nyheim Hines, running back for the Colts, coming up next segment. Second hour's wide open, coming up in hour number three. Bills wide receiver Andre Roberts makes a return to the jungle. Also in hour number three, a cornerback for the Green Bay Packers, Kevin King. So the Packers are going to rep, the Bills are going to rep, the Colts are going to rep. Holy crap, is that true, Hawk? Adam Hawk just informed me, I did not know this, just informed me, knock on wood, Bitcoin is at $23,650. Yeah, baby. Yeah, baby. How stupid do I look to you now, clones? Wow. Yo, Ben Mesrick, what up, kid? Yeah, I understand. That thing could go down as fast as it went up. Or maybe it's just going to keep going up. I love that guy yesterday who made the phone call during the What's Your Beef segment and said, y'all thought we were idiots when we paid $100 for our Bitcoin. Y'all thought we were idiots when it was at $1,000. Y'all thought we were idiots when we paid $10,000. Y'all thought we were idiots when we paid $20,000. See you bitches at $250. We'll see. Wow. 23 grr.
It's lit.
It is lit. Rit. 1-800-636-8686. Hey, crypto freaks. Crypto legends. What do? Do we sit and hold it? Is it a buy and hold? Do we flip it right now? What do we do? Is it always going to be a great hedge? I don't know. I'm being really honest. I was just fascinated by it, and I bought a little more than one when Ben came on the program. But that was about 12 or 13 grr ago. What do I do? 1-800-636-8686. I want to hear from Cryptocurrency Nation. Sincerely, I don't have much time left on this planet. Look at me. I'm old as dirt. What do I do with that coin? What do I do with it? Do I flip it and say heads or tails? All right, I better get to the program. So, ever since James Harden showed up on Tuesday night for the Rockets, he's been taking some. In fact, more than some. A lot of heat. He nearly broke Twitter with the reactions to that one photo of him looking more like James Largen than James Harden.
Fat!
Rit. Easy, Rit. Easy, boy. Want to go for a WAOK? Take it easy, old man. Anyway, you combine that with the report from ESPN about the culture in Houston and Harden's legendary commitment to partying and giving out gifts of a Prada bag stuffed with honey buns, and suddenly everybody was going in on James Harden. Everybody was taking a run at James Harden. Like, I was wanting to talk about the fact that this guy can put up amazing numbers on the floor, fly to Vegas, do his thing, get his freak on or do whatever he does in Vegas, then come right back and put up more incredible numbers on the floor the very next night. But not you dopes. Nope. All you dopes wanted to do was fat shame one of the country's finest athletes. I had to wade through all sorts of tweets and emails about how he's actually repping Johnny Rockets and not the Houston Rockets. And this idea that he somehow is able to store steak within his own beard so he can snack on it between plays. Do you know how stupid and idiotic you sound when you say things like that? Do you even understand how that might work? How does he keep the steak in his beard? With a string? With glue? Is the beef somehow pasted in there with Twizzlers so he can have a sweet dessert also in the second half? And by the way, if he really was doing that, don't you think people would know? Wouldn't we notice? Don't you think somebody would have pointed out the fact that James Harden, one of the greatest scorers in NBA history, is just stacking and mowing ribeyes on the floor in between plays? I mean, if he were, I think I would notice. So, what do you say we all keep moving with this nonsense, and I do not need to hear anything like, "Hey, Rome, Harden didn't take the floor on Tuesday. He broke it." Or, "Yo, Van Smack, Harden should drop his hesitation move on the buffet, not the opposition." And just so we're clear, James Harden shouts, "And one," when he gets fouled. He does not shout it after he has ordered value meals 2 through 6. "And one." Do not come up in here with any of that junk. And do not come up in here with some weird conspiracy theory that Harden's legendary post-dunk nosebleed check is actually him checking to see if any gravy spilled out when he landed or if he's got some extra crumbs in his beard. So, knowing everything that surrounded the reports that he wants out, and the report about the partying, and the overreaction to that one bad photo, everybody was waiting to see what Harden would say when he met with the media. He was asked about whether or not he wanted to be traded, and I have to say, he handled that answer pretty well.
"Hey, James, do you still want the Rockets to trade you? And if so, why?"
Right now, I'm just focused on being here. You know, today was good. Yesterday felt really good being out there, you know, first time in, since the bubble. I hadn't really had an opportunity to do a lot of 5-on-5 work, but for my first time being out there, I think I felt pretty good. So,
right. So to me, that's the perfect non-answer. He pretty clearly does not want to be there, but he's not going to come right out and say it. Doing that would be stupid. It would make an awkward situation even more awkward, and he's not going to do that. He's not going to diminish his own trade value by saying that he's the most miserable fat guy alive and will not spend another second there. No, not if he really wants to get out of Houston, he won't. He was also asked for his perspective on the changes around the Rockets since the end of last season. You know, the departure of the GM, the head coach, Russell Westbrook, to name just a few.
There's a lot of changes, and obviously the entire coaching staff, you know, some of the front office, a lot of the players. You know, this is where we are, you know, so, you know, coach has done an unbelievable job of just, you know, communicating with the guys and just, you know, putting the structure in and getting things going.
My man, he's handling it. Hyping Steven Silas, that's good, because there have been questions about how he felt about Silas, and here he is hyping the new head coach. So far, he is handling himself like a pro. Like, not killing it per se at the presser, but he's winning the presser by not losing it. And then Tim McMahon asked Harden about the traveling that he did before showing up in Houston. Now it's about to get nice. For the record, that's the author of that piece about Harden's partying. And it was time to finally separate the fact from the fiction. Go ahead, big fella. Set the record straight.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
What were you training for?
The start of the NBA season.
How did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were starting training camp in Houston?
Just my personal trainers.
It's a hell of an exchange right there. I mean, that's pretty fascinating. First off, if you haven't seen the video, Harden is wearing a sleeveless shirt. He's showing off the guns. He does not look like the morbidly obese nose tackle in a basketball jersey that some of you are trying to make him out to be. Secondly, maybe it's a coincidence, but right before McMahon starts talking, Harden does that kind of head roll, neck pop thing, like, all right, let's do this. Let's get this. And then you have the exchange.
James, what was the point that you were trying to get across when you went to Atlanta and Vegas when training camp was starting?
I was just training.
See? All you idiots who thought that this guy was going to the ATL in Vegas to party could not have been more wrong. He was not going there to get his party on. He was going there to get his work game in. And what better place to work out and get ready and train for the upcoming NBA season than, let me check my notes, Lil Baby's birthday party. He was probably coming up with 3 or 4 additional moves that he's going to drop on the league this year. This case is closed as far as I'm concerned. But apparently there are follow-ups. Like, question, what were you training for? Answer, the start of the NBA season. The hell you think I was training for? The NBA season is about to start. I had to get into shape and get ready to play. I'm training for the start of the season. In fact, you want to know what? I'm actually training for life. At this point, I'm good. I've got all my questions answered. I don't need to know anything else. The guy clearly was in two of the biggest party cities in the world, but he was there to work on his game. He was there to get ready for the season. In fact, my man is so committed. He is so committed to getting ready for the season and being the best that he can be for his team that he left his team to get ready for the season. What says commitment and dedication to the team more than leaving the team? I mean, you may think that if you're really committed, you're going to do what everybody else is doing, right? If you're one of them and you want to lead them, you will be with them and do what they're doing. Oh, no, not James Harden. He's got a different way of getting ready now. Not only will he not be there with them doing what they're doing, he's going to be wherever the hell he wants, namely Vegas. And do what he wants there. That's impressive. Training camp is hard. You know what's even harder? Conducting your own personal training camp in Vegas. Yeah, man, you gotta stay away from the temptations. You gotta work on your mental game, your physical game, the highest order. That's how you do that. That's not easy. I'm good. But apparently there's one more question that needs to be answered. Quote, how did going to Atlanta and Vegas help you there when the Rockets were in Houston? Quote, my personal trainers. There you go. Bam. And no idiots, his personal trainers are not the Hamburglar, Grimace, and the Fry Guys. And you can tell the only lane that he's been driving is the one to the hoop and not the one in the pickup window. And you got to get off this guy's back. You have to leave him alone. There's no way that James Harden would go off and do that and not get his work in. Man, that would just be so weird. He got his work in Vegas. I am good with the explanation. I think it makes complete and total sense. And everybody clowning this guy for partying in Atlanta and Vegas and showing us how out of shape this guy is should feel pretty stupid right now. All right, just keep moving. And all you fools who've been trying to say that he looks fat or that he's giving out Prada bags stuffed with honey buns, get ready with your apologies because Harden and I are ready to accept them. My man looks great. Anyone who says otherwise just doesn't know what the hell they're talking about. So let it go. Turn the page. Keep moving. It's all good. I believe you, James. Man, in fact, before I go to break, I would just say this. You know this guy originally wanted to go shirtless to meet with the media. Probably buck-ass naked. You know how I always say that if somebody would accuse me of like doing steroids and I were an athlete, and I didn't take steroids, I would find the highest rooftop there is and scream from that rooftop. I would find every single microphone I could. I would find every single camera I could. I would get in front of all of these things and demand that everybody listen that I'm not on roids. Same with James Harden. Man, I'd be going door to door knocking. Yo, Vance Mack, what are you doing here? Can I help you? Yeah, yeah, I'm not on roids. Same thing here. I'm fat? Are you kidding?
Fat?
You think I look like Kendrick Perkins? I may have let myself go a little bit, but you calling me a nose tackle? I would be telling my publicist to get Men's Health on the line, get GQ, I want to be on the cover, get TMZ, Radar Online, whatever British tab there is, paparazzi shots by the pool, get anybody on the line who I can put myself in front of without a shirt. Hell, get Pornhub on the line. What's the line? Hell hath no fury like a woman scorned? No, hell hath no fury like a Harden enlarged. Fat James is dropping 40 a game on dudes' heads this season. You believe that? Believe that. I'm telling you, my man knows exactly what he's doing. Eating, drinking, and getting fat! I guess what I'm saying in 17 minutes is, yo, dude, that gun show didn't convince anybody of anything. Other than you've been getting your grub on. Let's get out. When we come back, Nyheim Himes joins me. We begin the interview portion of the program. Dell Technologies' end-of-the-year sale is the perfect time to upgrade your small business with the latest tech. Save big on the latest business computers powered by Intel Core processors. And do not forget to shop servers, storage, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, all with free shipping on everything. Yes, everything. Every small business has unique needs, and when you call a Dell Technologies advisor, they can help identify just the right tech for your business. So call 877-ASK-DELL today. 877-ASK-DELL today.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Moving right through hour number one. As promised, we're joined right now by running back for the Indianapolis Colts. Coming off a game where he had 7 carries for 58 yards. He had 4 receptions for 17 more yards. That was in that win over the Raiders. Nearly 700 yards and 7 TDs from scrimmage this season. He was a first-team all-conference player at NC State. The 104th pick overall in 2018. Indy at home against Houston on Sunday. It is a CBS game. Nyheim Himes is my guest. Nyheim, good to have you on. How are you?
I'm well, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Big fan of you and the show, so really honored to be on.
Man, I really appreciate you saying that. It's been a moment since you and I have gotten together and talked, so it's great to have you back. Thanks so much. Now, we're in the middle of December, and the team's coming off a couple of nice road wins. You're battling for first in the division. Let me start right there. What is the vibe like around the team right now?
The vibe around the team is just the fact that we control our destiny. Obviously, Tennessee has a tiebreaker on us, but, you know, that really doesn't really matter. We have to go on there and win our last 3 games. And the good thing about, you know, football is you play all those games. You play them one weekend at a time, one day at a time. And that's what we're really focused on. We're focused on Thursday today, winning Thursday, and then winning Friday, Saturday, and then going out and executing on Sunday.
Nyheim Himes is joining us. So you're coming off that win over the Raiders, 44-27, and the team had more than 450 total yards, including 212 yards on the ground. So what was the offense's mindset going into that game, and then how pleased were you with that execution?
Our mindset was just to be physical because, you know, we all know how the Raiders are, you know, physical team. They're going to try to stop the run and they're going to try to run the ball. So we accepted that challenge this week, and I think it turned out well for us. But that's every week for us. But, you know, some weeks it's just a key emphasis that, you know, the other team's a hard-nosed football team. You know, teams like the Raiders, the Ravens, Steelers, all those teams kind of have, like, the same identity in that sense. So, you know, it was really great to go out there and execute. And, you know, football is a game of execution. A lot of times teams know what you're doing, but when you go out there and execute, it doesn't really matter.
Let's not understand that you're taking this one day at a time, and it's part of that process. But do you feel like when you have a game like that and a win like that, does it feel like the team is starting to play its best football when it matters most?
Absolutely. All the great teams and the teams that make the playoffs, they hit their stride in December. A lot of teams that make the playoffs don't lose a lot of games in December. So really that's what, you know, that's what Coach Reich's been telling us. You know, we got to play our, we have to ascend each week and play better football than we did last week. And as for right now, we've been doing that. But one thing that's really big in our culture and on our team is don't ride the waves of results. So we had a great game running the ball, but we can't ride that wave. We got to go back to, you know, the 1-0 mentality and winning each day. And if we play bad, it's okay. It's one game. we have to do the same exact thing and just begin again. And that's what I think we've been doing a great job of that. Just, you know, focusing one day at a time and not riding the wave of results.
Right. One day at a time. I would imagine also one play at a time. Like, there were so many great plays in that win over the Raiders, but I've got to ask, what did you think when you saw Kenny Moore come down with the interception the way he did, and how much does that say about him as a player?
I can tell you exactly what I told Kenny Moore. He's different. He's very, very different. He's a special player. And, you know, guys like that, he's obviously he made that play like that, but guys in the NFL who make plays like that, that isn't their first time. You can turn on film from Kenny in high school and college, and you can see that exact same play. So he's a special player to make a play like that. Then, you know, not to ride the waiver result, but then to come back to make another fumble after that, that's just – that's remarkable. That's why he's the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. And, you know, we're blessed to have somebody like that on our team and get to practice against somebody like that. I think he's probably the best, you know, slot nickel in the league. So it's really great to see him go out there and have success.
You know, I love that notion that he's different, because if you've got like an entire locker room of different guys, like pretty much everybody there is used to being the man from someplace or somewhere at some point. But if you've separated yourself from the guys who are the alphas, like what makes him different? Is it mindset? Is it preparation? Is it innate athletic ability? Is it all of those things? How is he different from everybody else?
It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of all of the above. I mean, he's a hard worker. His story is incredible, you know, not having any offers, didn't start till his senior year at a high school, goes to a D2 school, and then he is really, really athletic. Like, I've seen videos of him windmill dunking, and he's like my height. So the fact that he's, first of all, like an undersized guy technically, but he plays like he's, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 220, even though he's like 5'10", 190 pounds, you know, that's a big thing. And I think this is really just, you know, being a small guy, having that work ethic, you know, being underlooked his whole life, and having that dog mentality. And that's what makes Kenny him. He just has that dog mentality. Doesn't take no for an answer. Real disruptive in the run game and real disruptive in the pass game as well.
Listen, it's self-evident, but it's like the highest praise. When somebody says about somebody else in that league, they've got that dog mentality. That's like the best thing you could say about a guy, if you ask me. What does that mean exactly, that he's got a dog mentality?
It's different for everybody, but really it's just, you know, being the physical guy, being the guy, you know, in the boxing terms, to, you know, hit the guy before they hit you. And that's what Kenny always does. Kenny's always the guy, you know, hitting that guy before he hits him, if it's in the pass game, the run game. And that's really what it is. And then really being able to fight through adversity, that's what really a dog does. You know, bad things happen, but you got to come back with a clear mind, and, you know, you got to go out there and be a dog and figure out, you know, football is a game of physicality. So you got to have just that mentality that you won't take no for an answer. You just got to be physically dominant in front of the guy across from you. So that's really what it is. It really just comes to that mindset of Kenny saying, no, this guy's not getting nothing. No, this guy's not making the play. And that's really what makes Kenny Kenny. It's amazing to watch him.
Yeah,
see every day in practice and then see it translate to Sunday.
Nyheim Hines joining us. That's a great explanation. And I know that your teammates would say the same thing about you. In fact, when you and I talked a few years back, when you were still at NC State, we talked about Philip Rivers and the fact that you had been watching him playing on TV back in the day, and now your teammates. He was quick to point out this about you, quote, this guy's a runner. He can run between the tackles, and he's a heck of a receiver. He is an explosive player, end of quote. Rivers said that about you. Like, it'd be pretty easy for somebody with your hands and your speed and your explosiveness to be labeled as a scat back, but how much pride do you take in the fact that your teammates trust you to run between the tackles and hit guys?
You know, it means a lot. You know, in sports, a lot people try to label you, and as a player, you really can't go into those labels. I think I'm doing a great job, and for my role, I think I'm doing you know, one of the best guys in the league for what my exact role is, and really, I just have to stay ready. You know, I may not be asked to carry the ball 20 times a game, but there may be games where I have to. So, really, it's just, you know, trusting those guys in front of me. And, you know, I think personally when it comes to running between tackles, you know, I think Frank trusts me. And anytime I get an inside run call, I take pride in that. Like, you know, I got to get what I'm supposed to get. I can't get tackled in the backfield. I got to be right with my reads because, you know, I don't have as many opportunities as another guy. And, you know, that's, you know, a guy who's 195 pounds running in between the tackles. You know, for some people, I think that might be a disadvantage. But I don't think for me it's a disadvantage. I think I can hit the hole a lot faster than many running backs. And I think that's what I really try to do is use my speed, explosiveness, and really get through there. And when I get a full head of steam going, I think I can break some tackles. But for a guy to Philip to say something like that, and I actually haven't even heard that, you know, but we both know how much I respect him. That means a lot. So I put a smile on my face. But, you know, every week you got to go out there and redo that and re-earn that trust and respect.
Yeah, I respect that approach so much. I mean, you're right. That's high praise from somebody like that. And then you got Tom Raffman, who was an absolute warrior when he played the game. He's your running backs coach. He says similar things like that Phillips said about you, or Phillips said about you. But you know what? Here's something really interesting to me. It's one thing to feel a certain responsibility. You said recently, quote, when you carry the ball, you carry the fate of everybody in the organization before and after me. I take that to heart. Like, that's really heavy. That's really powerful. I love the approach. Where did that come from? And how much does it mean to you to know that you're carrying the fate of not just the other 10 guys, but the entire organization?
I got that from Coach Rathman. Coach Rathman in my career said some really great things. He said that, and then he's also, another thing that's hit me is don't count the plays, make the plays count. So, you know, just having that mentality and that mindset has been really big. And Coach Rathman's, you know, he's old school, but he does a great job of, you know, in his own way motivating us. And it's really a real thing. Just, you know, when I carry that ball, if I score a touchdown, guys like Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison, those guys are probably watching the game. Peyton Manning, they're probably keeping up with the game. And then the guys, you know, on the team, obviously, but there's a whole city, state, and all Colts fans everywhere that, you know, are staring. Like, you know, they're watching what happens when I touch the ball. Like, if you fumble, if you catch the ball, if you score. So, in so many senses, it's a lot of pressure, but that's how football is. Even at NC State, there's running backs there right now who are carrying the ball, and I'm watching that. So it's really just, you know, it's really a, you know, pay it forward type of way, but it's that's really how it is when you play football. There's fans everywhere, and, you know, the people who played here, they're always going to keep up with the Colts. And, you know, future guys, they may not even know they're going to be Colts, you know, like me. I was watching the Colts when Peyton Manning was there, and I'm obviously I know the culture now. So it's really a big thing, but I think when you really think about it, it's really something easy to look about if somebody tells you that. And I'm happy that, you know, Coach Rathman even said that for me to even think about it in that manner.
I think that's an amazing perspective. And don't forget about the other guy. Don't forget about Edge. Edge has to be watching too. Edgerrin James.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many, like him, Marshall Faulk. There's so many great players that, you know, have probably kept up with us, and we don't even know it. Or, you know, they don't say it, or they might tweet about it. But, you know, that's really what it is. You know, it's not just that good, those guys and the fans on the field. But, you know, I take pride in just, you know, those Hall of Famers who, you know, shed blood, sweat, and tears into the Colts, you know. So I really just try to go out there and be right every time I touch the ball.
Listen, one last thought. You mentioned Raffman. One more thing that he says that I'm really interested in, and I want you to explain it. He talks about body, ball, boundary. What does that mean?
Body ball boundary just means have the ball in the arm close to the sideline. So you can play pound on the sideline. A pound is, you know, running somebody over, like Rathman likes to say, or you can stiff arm them. And really, it's really just a great coaching boy. And what's made Jordan Wilkins and I two draft picks since our third year, Rathman has made both of us a lot better fundamental players. And really, when it comes to football, you have to have fundamental technique, and then your talent can take over. So I think really it's been really big, just because, you know, obviously when you're running with the ball in the opposite hand, the defense is coming that way. So it's an easier hit on the ball. It's an easier chance to get a strip. So it's really great fundamentals. And, you know, it's something when I can think about it, when I can do it, I always try to do it. And he's screaming it. He's screaming, squeeze it, body ball boundary, all that stuff while I'm running. And I can actually hear it. So great coaching and always great constant reminders in the game.
Dude, a great conversation. Once again, he was the 104th pick overall in 2018. He was a first-team all-conference player back in the day at NC State and having a really nice pro career. Indianapolis at home against Houston on Sunday. Once again, that is a CBS game. Naheem Hines. Naheem, that was so good. So good to get caught up. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for being on the show. Hopefully, I'll get back on soon.
Love to have you back. Anytime. You let me know. Great conversation. Colts running back. Naheem Hines. Man, I love that. What a great approach. Great perspective. I absolutely love that take about when I carry the ball. Man, I'm carrying the ball not just for the guys on this team, not just the guys in this locker room, but the entire organization and the guys who came before me and the guys who are going to come after me. All right, so we're open until the top of hour number three. You can react to that. We can talk more about James Harden. We can talk about Ike being in the front row of the tie. Adam Hawk bouncing back and forth between the first row and the back row. We are short-staffed on a Thursday because that's what we do on Thursdays. Alvin is at home listening. That's his explanation or description of, no, dude, I'm working. Listening from home is not working, Alvin.
Dude, it's set up that way.
It's part of that COVID life. Alvin is homeschooling. Dude, let me ask you something. Didn't school end? Like, Jake Rome is home from college. School's over. Logan is at home and has been at home, but he has last final yesterday. Is school not over? And if school is over, then why are you not here, Alvy? Dude. A homeschooler is never through. Homeschooling is a way of life. It's a full-time gig, Van Smack. Oh, okay. In addition to that, I do want to talk Raiders, Chargers. I want to talk about a guy playing with a fractured throat. I've heard about some pretty jacked up injuries. A fractured throat. A broken throat. A shredded throat. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, yo, Doc, I think I broke my throat. Yeah, he looks all right to me. This dude played with a broken throat. I have that story for you, too. A little more on James Harden, believe it or not. In addition to it. Yeah, I saw Todd Gurley's tweet, clones. I'm well aware of that. I did see it. I wish I had not seen it. I cannot unsee it. And I love Todd Gurley. I just hate that tweet. Man, Twitter. That's the epitome of what's popping, Twitter. Not to go spoiler alert on anybody. In fact, I'm not going to go spoiler alert on anybody because I'm going to do whatever I possibly can not to talk about that story. It's disgusting. When we come back, take a shot. Give me a call. 1-800-636-8686. Alvy's in. Dude, school holiday break starts next week. Of course it does, Alvin. You mean when I'm off that week? I want to reset the Clinton Portis podcast, which is really good. Time for a sports update. Here it is. Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, so Saturday, you want to join CBS for an enormous sports day beginning at noon Eastern. Noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, there is a college basketball triple header. Then in primetime, 8 Eastern, two of the nation's best quarterbacks are on display. Mac Jones leading top-ranked Alabama against Kyle Trask. And number 6 Florida in the SEC title game. That is one of the biggest days ever. That is Saturday on CBS. Started the program. I did not know this, but Adam Hawk put it up on my call screen that Bitcoin had hit $23,605, $50 per coin. And I said, dang, I want to hear from Crypto Nation. What do I do with my coin? I've got a little over one, and it is more than doubled. And John in Minnesota called, did not want to go on the air, and he's like, hey, Rome, this is pretty simple. Sell the original investment, take that equity back, and let the rest of it ride. Hold the rest of it. It's all gravy at that point. It's all profit. Pretty basic. Pretty good idea. Do I stay all in or do I just take that off the table? I mean, isn't that like going to Vegas, right? You take your original investment back. You set aside the chips that you've won, and then you're playing with house money. That's not a bad idea. Anybody else in crypto? Anybody who follows that type of thing, like nobody knows, obviously. Nobody knows. But if you have a better take or a more educated take or a better hypothesis than I might, because I don't really have one. I just did it because I was curious and it was interesting. And so far, it's worked out pretty well. Where do you think that market goes? Is that thing going to really go to 250? Is that thing going to a half a mil? Or is it going to be back to 50 bucks a coin? That'd be kind of a drag. 1-800-636-8686. In addition to that, let's see what we got here. Stucknut is in. It's Mr. DeLauro. Regards, Alvy responding to his kids during homeschool hours when they call him dad.
That is ridiculous.
It's Mr. DeLauro. I remember when I was in the family business, I've told you this story. When I was in the family business and my parents owned the business, when I got out of radio for about 6 months, I'd go to the office. My parents actually owned a factory. They were manufacturers. And I talked the old man into letting me work for him. He said no. At first he said no. I'm like, what? It's the dream of every father in the history of the world to have their son and legacy follow in their footsteps. You're telling me no? He said, that's exactly what I said. I'm like, it's the dream of every... He's like, no, it's not. It's not my dream. I said, are you kidding me? I can't work in the family business. You're telling me no. His response was, what do you not understand about this? No, you cannot work in the family business. I said, Dad, why not? And his response to me was, because you have never once shown any interest in the family business. No, you cannot work here. Wow. So I did what I did. I wore him down. Like for 6 months, every day I'm into him. Yes, I do. Yes, I want to. Yes, I can. Yes, I do. Yeah, this is my dream. This is my dream. I finally get in the door and I'm popping him. Yo, Pop. Yo, Pop. What's up? He's like, look, don't call me Pop. Don't call me Pop at work. Call me Jay. I'm like, I can first name you? He said, yes, at work, you can first name me. Don't call me Pop. That's not professional. I'm like, you got it, Jay. I started J-ing him all day, every day. I'd come over, you know, he'd come home. I didn't live at home at that point, but I'd come over on the weekend. I'm like, yo, Jay, what's up? He's like, don't be a smart ass. I'm like, what, Jay? He didn't think that was very funny. Hey, Rome, great rant from Tom Cruise yesterday. I can't help but think what it would have been like, though, if that cornhole lady walked in and saw the cast members of Mission Impossible breaking safety protocols. Could you imagine cornhole lady trying to shut down the cruiser? Hit it, Rit. Jake in New York City.
Stop it right now.
We are not shutting this movie down.
We will stop this. This is stupid.
We are not shutting this movie down.
This is absolutely ridiculous.
We are creating thousands of jobs. You're going to cost him his job.
Get out of here!
Understand the responsibility that you have.
We are adults, and this is ridiculous.
Tell it to the people that are losing their f***ing homes, because our industry is shut down. It's not going to put food on their table.
Cut the crap.
We are not shutting this f***ing movie down.
Good job, Rit. I don't know how you did two things at once, but well done. So if you're measuring vitriol and venom, who's more pissed? The cornhole lady or the cruiser? If I were judging by a number of F-bombs, the cruiser. But she actually sounded more angry. She sounded more angry about them fighting over cornhole than Cruise was about a couple of guys being too close to one another and not wearing their masks. It's awfully close. Rome Slice. If I see it again, you're bleeping gone. Regards, James Harden, to the waitress when she brings him a dinner salad.
I don't ever want to see it again. Ever. I see you do it again and you're gone.
That was Tom Cruise. That was late in the program yesterday. He was on the set of MI7. MI7. So we got a couple of problems here. We've got three people that are trying to take down the Mission Impossible franchise. Those two idiots, they were on the set not wearing their masks, and Burn Dog. Three people trying to ruin one of the best things ever. I'm not having it either. I'm with Cruise. Put on your freaking masks. Keep them on. Stay properly distanced from each other. And stop writing stupid songs about one of the great franchises ever.
No, look for me some J. Alvin drop the squawk. I'm Adam Hawk. Rippy Adam Hawk. Rippy Adam
Nothing
Hawk.
Should Rippy ever be able to take down the Mission Impossible franchise. It's incredible. It's iconic.
I'm Adam Hawk.
But judging from how upset the cruiser was, those two guys could not only take down the franchise, but the entire industry. Thousands of jobs. An all-time epic rant from Tom Cruise, but still number two overall. Not even the best Hollywood rant ever. Looking ahead to the third hour. Once again, I've got two interviews there. I've got Buffalo Bills wide receiver Andre Roberts. Bills Mafia, how y'all living? Kevin King, Green Bay Packers cornerback. Packer fan, how are you living? I did a take yesterday on the MVP race. It's not done. I thought it was over when Russ got out as quickly as he did. Not only was Russ going to get his first ever first place vote, Russ was going to run away with that damn thing. And then Russ came back to earth. And then Patrick Mahomes started doing Mahomes-type things, but he had a bad game last out, and Aaron Rodgers has been right there all along. This thing's not over yet. Aaron Rodgers could still win that MVP battle. So Packers look good, Bills look good, obviously the Chiefs look good, and we've got a nice fister for Thursday night. Raiders, Chargers, it is no longer Hell Week, especially on a short week. But what I can do for you, I've got Hell Day, Hell Morning, Hell AM. I'll break it down. One of the reasons this show is syndicated is because when I worked on 690 AM, Hell Week became like Hell 365. All we ever did was talk Charger football and how much the Chargers and Raiders hated each other. So it's kind of a tip of the hat and a throwback Thursday. I'll talk about that too. Jamie in Green Bay tweet, or I should say quote, "What would be worse, losing your initial investment or missing out on a ride to 250K? I'd let it ride." Jamie, exactly. I mean, literally, as I was repeating what John in Minnesota said, that was the thing going through my mind. Like, I was saying one thing, but thinking another. You're exactly right. I was thinking to myself, yeah, great. I could get my initial investment back, and then I'm covered, and then the rest is gravy. Yeah, but what if that one kook, who's banging away going 250, 250, 250. It's going to get to 250, I'm telling you. And 99.999% of the world is saying, idiot. Man, you're just saying that. You're just trying to say that to get people to look at you and subscribe to some newsletter that's worthless. Yeah, but what if that guy's right? Jamie, I agree. All right, stay with it. Hour number two is wide open. Raiders, Chargers, Hell Day preview coming up next.